to not get comfortable and complacent. I know we could often come on Sunday nights thinking it to be a routine Sunday evening, but the Lord puts anything on anyone's heart this evening, I ask that you would do that. That's the most important thing that we can do this evening. And so I just ask you all to pray for me. I've been here before, but very briefly, for those that may not remember me, my name is Dawson Knight. I'm a member at Fairview Missionary Baptist Church in Woodburn. I guess I came here probably 2 years ago, right around when I was called to preach. I was saved in 2015, in September, the month of September, and I told of being saved before I was. I'm sure many of you all have probably seen that Facebook post or whatnot. I thought I was saved on the church roll, so to speak, but the Lord was gracious and merciful enough to let me know that I wasn't truly saved and gave me the opportunity to make that right, and so I'm thankful for that. I was called to preach, while I was in school, and went a year without owning up to it, and the Lord gave me, again, was merciful to allow me an opportunity to stand and a voice that He has called me to preach, and I've very, very weak individual, but I've tried to do that, and I'm grateful to be here with you all. Also thankful to see Brother Collins. I had the privilege, it was unique, I got to go to the mission trip to Africa a couple years ago, and Brother Tom and Sister Sarah were down, over the summer, for before spring for minister school, and Brother Tom and Sister Sarah invited me over to get some chapates. They came to our church or Brother Tom was there to preach, but I was out at another church that evening, and so he invited me over, and it was honestly, I found fellowshipping with your brother and sisters is special. And the Lord, I don't know about Brother Collins, but I know all we did was eat chapates and drink juice, but the Lord blessed me in that time being with him and Brother Tom. And so I'm thankful for Brother Collins as well and his desire to be a help to me and really everyone. And his encouragement that he is to so many people. And so that's enough about me. But if you have your Bibles and would like to turn, I'm going to begin reading a verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We'll be reading very short verses of Scripture. I plan to read just a few places. Don't intend to be very long. But what I want to talk about tonight is something that has been heavy on my heart. Maybe nobody gets anything out of it tonight. And if that's the case, that's okay, but I'm confident that the Lord at least has spoke to me in preparation for this evening. The thought I want to ponder upon this evening, if the Lord will allow us to, is a dependence on prayer. Growing up, I'll just tell you, many of you all may not know her, but my grandmother, I don't like to talk about individuals really behind the pulpit because it's not about them, ultimately, it's about Jesus, but my grandmother was an example of that I wish I could, in some ways, imitate. It was unfamiliar, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but it was quite unfamiliar to see women to pray aloud. And my grandmother, she was a member at New Harmony in Logan County, but in her later years, she joined out at Fairview and Woodburn as well. And I remember early on when we joined there as well, I became embarrassed because we would go to the Lord in prayer before service, and there was my grandma praying louder than any man in the sanctuary. But there was something about her prayers that I loved, and they were sincere. And I don't know about you all, but even now, I struggle to pray. It's hard to pray. And I believe prayer is the biggest tool that we have here with us, outside of the Lord's Word, of course, as well. But we are equipped, and the Lord's left us with the ability to pray. And I want to bring out the privilege that we have to be able to call upon Him in prayer, and the necessity that we should feel, a desire that we should have to do that with sincerity and love. I think a lot of us view prayer as a privilege, but I believe also, and I'm speaking about myself, I don't mean to be pointed in anything I say tonight, but also I think some of us view it as more of a chore, just a list to check off. I don't know about you all, but many times the time that I'll pray will be before my meal or before I lay my head to rest. Those are all well and good practices, but I want us to think about true prayer. What does it look like? What is it? What does our heart begin to feel? And a lot of times I find myself of just really saying the just words, it feels like sometimes. Just, of course, I'll certain things will be on my heart, whether it be an individual or, I don't know, burdens of some sort, and I begin to voice those. But I don't know about you all, but when I really feel the Lord begin to move in my heart, I all of a sudden just stop with all the requests and all the, Lord, do this and do that for me. And I just say, Lord, thank you for what you have done for me. That is what I believe true prayer is. It shouldn't be an obligation. It should rather be a gift that we should be able to enjoy and find a source of strength from. Prayer is a direct line to God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we have a direct line to talk to Him. I know this is a cliche thing. We probably have heard this behind the pulpit and heard people say this, but if the President of the United States were to make it available for any of us to call and talk to him, I'm sure everybody in here would have a desire probably to talk to him. Or if you could think about any person that you value or you find significance in, you would want to talk to them. But most likely what's going to be the case is there won't be on the receiving end. On the receiving end of that, they probably won't pick up the phone because, like us, we have less value to them. We would not be of much value to them. But I'm thankful tonight that no matter what we might be clothed in, no matter what we may look like, no matter what past we may have, whatever you want to fill in the blank with, the Lord is always, He finds a value in each individual that calls upon Him. And that, to me, is super humbling, and I'm thankful for that this evening. I want to define what prayer is. Prayer is an address or a petition from the depths of the heart to God. What is the purpose of it? You know, sometimes I think, again, I already said, I think we view prayer as maybe just a way to let our requests be made known to God. And I do believe that He wants us to take our burdens to Him. But I also believe prayer is a place and a time for the Lord to speak to us. And I'll get to that. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but sometimes I think we treat prayer as a moment, a place, a time where we can just go and voice all of our burdens and our concerns, and we get it all out, and then we step back, and we go back to right to what we were doing. And we never give the Lord opportunity to speak back. It's important that we allow the Lord to speak to us, because in that way, He's able to diffuse and remove the wickedness that we might have in our heart, the sin that might be in our heart. And we are all men. We all have sin in our heart. And oftentimes, I think we have sin that we maybe be unaware of. Sins that, honestly, I say this a lot, but I think oftentimes there's sin that I don't even recognize until the Lord brings it to my attention that that is what it is. You know, I view a lot of things as being good, but not everything that is good to our eyes is good to the Lord. It's careful that we define what is good and what's not good and allow the Lord to do that. And so very quickly, I want to talk about, if you were, just throughout tonight, I want you to consider who you would account to be your closest friend. If you were to talk about someone that was your closest friend, what would that look like? What attributes would they have? What characteristics would they have? All of us, I believe, have a desire. I'm sure whoever that is to you, would it, whether it be your spouse, your mom, dad, brother, sister, grandpa, grandma, whomever it might be, I think there's going to be some important qualities that they would have. And one, they're going to love you. You're probably going to feel loved by them. But in that, a lot of that is because they listen to you. There's a big thing the Lord has brought to my attention about the need for me to just pause and listen. I find sometimes my life is just so chaotic, so busy that I don't ever just stop for a second. And this sounds bizarre to you all. I need to get back in the habit. My belly's growing big on me. But I used to go running. And when I would go running, especially this time of the year in the fall, I know that I think Brother Sanford's a runner. I'm sure he can understand this some. When you go running near the fall, the leaves are changing and the wind would blow and you could hear the breeze. And at first I would put in my AirPods and listen to music and everything. But all of a sudden, one day I took them out and was just running. And I heard the wind. And I just began to meditate and think. And the Lord just began to move on me while I was running. And all of a sudden, tears began to roll down my face. And I don't remember, that was the easiest run. I think I had my record time for my miles, or for 1 mile in that interval of space. But it's kind of like I just forgot everything. It was just me and the Lord talking. And next thing I knew, I was back home. And I guess I had to get back. I think I mowed the yard. But what I mean is, God is not interested in the actual interval of time. What he's interested in is the quality of time that we spend with him. I think sometimes view prayer as a distinct amount of time, but what it is, it's a distinct amount of time where your heart is pursuing the Lord. And so I want to begin again. I ask you to flip to Hebrews chapter 4, 16. I want to begin reading there. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly," and that means confident, "and to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Again, I already mentioned about how what a humbling privilege and how we should be moved and humbled by the idea that the one that rules the universe, the King of Kings, the one that hung the stars and the moon and placed the sun at a perfect distance to where we wouldn't burn up, but also we wouldn't freeze to death, has a desire, an intimate desire to have not just a relationship with each of us, but also fellowship. We can date that back even to the beginning of man. When he created Adam and Eve, why did he create man? He wanted fellowship. He wanted a companion. And we find that is also his desire for us. I think sometimes Satan distracts us to think all that matters is the relationship, to be saved, and then that's it. I got my ticket punched, I'm going to heaven, and I can just relax, I can lay back. But it's important that he doesn't just want that, but he wants further fellowship and to grow with that. And so what I want to bring out is when we approach the Lord in prayer, we should do so. Number one, I remember listening to my grandmother, and there was a reverence to her voice, just her manner of how she did it was just, she came humble. And I think that is what, and at least the Lord has pointed that out in my own heart. It just seems like the reverence for him is not where it needs to be. The humility that I think that we need to truly seek the Lord is not there as it once was. And then when we do that, it says boldly to be confident. Confident means to obviously be without doubt or hesitation. And I find myself often being in doubt and hesitating. And so the question I have also is, why do we discredit and discount the power of prayer? Why is it that we do that? I already mentioned why I believe that. I believe, again, at least looking in my own heart, Satan has many of us distracted. And I don't think a lot of us realize that we're distracted, but at least for me, I am so distracted. I find myself being so consumed with life and the things, and good things, whether it be getting married or whether it be raising kids or whatever it might be. Good things, but things that the Lord doesn't desire for us to pull our attention or pull our hearts away from him. But I find myself becoming more self-reliant. That's the issue. I find my heart being more self-reliant. When a burden comes, I want to try. I'm a problem solver. I teach math. I want to solve it on my own rather than forfeit the control that I desire. My flesh desires control. Forfeit that and allow him to have control. And so what begins to happen is we begin to believe that prayer is just inefficient. We don't respect it. We don't understand the privilege that we truly have in front of us. We just discredit it. We discount what it truly is and what it's meant to be. And another thing, and I think about somebody at Fairview, I think, used this, and it's stuck with me. We live in a microwave society. What does that mean? We live in a society where we believe that you could just throw a hot pocket in the microwave, throw a burden in the microwave, and instantly it's supposed to be fixed. But the Lord, at least if we and read, and I'll point out scripture here shortly, the Lord is not defined by our timing. I think we all know that. That's a cliche that we often use. But do we truly understand that? Our hearts, our lives, my life, my heart often shows I don't understand that. I can say it, I know it to be true, but I don't live it. I don't practice it. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Again, we expect fast results, but prayer requires patience, number one, and when it says that, it's talking about endurance, faith, hope, and trust. Again, and then at the very end of that verse in Romans, it says, "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." That means to stay instant, constantly in prayer, and understand that prayer does not, despite what our circumstances might be, it doesn't influence us. It doesn't motivate us differently. We are just the same. We're content. We're happy. That's what prayer can do if it's in the right place. You'll find that the love, the peace, the joy, all those things that we speak about and read about come hand to hand. Again, it aligns our hearts to the will of the Lord. I think all of us desire to have our life. We're here on Sunday night. This is the backbone, the core of the church. But I think also Satan, at least in my own heart, my own mind, allows me to take that mindset and just be, okay, well, I'm here. I'm doing the right things. I'm aligned with the Lord's will. I'm at church like He desires me to be. However, are we truly, truly with Him? Are we present in doing that? And so what we find is when our heart becomes aligned with the Lord and His Word, and we have a true desire, a sincere desire in our hearts to seek after Him, we find that our problems begin to be developed and built into looking at what the Lord has promised us. And a passage of Scripture, or one verse of Scripture I would like to read is an example of Jesus Himself. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." And in this, it's talking about Jesus. It says He went out early in the morning to a solitary place. So what does that mean? He secluded Himself. He found a time of quietness, a space and time of where He could just pause and talk to the Creator. I present this to you. If the Son of God finds it to be a necessity to speak to God, His Father, why don't we? Why don't we find a necessity to a desire to go out to find a place wherever it might be, and put ourselves in our prayer closet in time, find a place to speak to the Lord in sincerity. Again, it's important that, again, it doesn't matter what the environment. I think sometimes we get so boggled down on what has to be at this place, or it has to be at church only, or it has to be at this time and this time. I believe the time and place to do it is when the Lord begins to move on your heart. Again, I find it, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, and maybe somebody can help me understand this a little bit better, but the Lord seems to move on my heart at the most inopportune times. And it frustrates me sometimes. It's like I'm in the middle of school, and I need, for example, planning. I'll be during planning. I'm needing to get work done, and all of a sudden the Lord begins to move in my heart, and I begin to just have a desire to pray, and what do? No, not right now. Not a good time. We'll deal with that later. And then I never speak to Him. I never talk to Him. And what do I expect? I expect Him to still bless me and still do all these things. And because He's good, He does those things. But I can't. If you think about that friend that I was speaking to earlier, what you would envision a good friend being, if we treated the Lord or our friends like we treated the Lord, man, what a terrible friend we would be, right? And I think sometimes that sounds very elementary and very cliche maybe to say, but that's the truth of the matter, is oftentimes we treat the Lord as a microwave. Lord, here you go, here's my request. Please get this back to me as soon as possible. But that is, there's no reverence behind that. There's no love or just thankful gratitude for what he's done. And that's what, again, we'll get to it, that's what true prayer is. Oftentimes we find it as our last resort. Again, I told you I have a problem with control. I love control. I want control. And again, I guess it's my flesh, but I want to control this. I want to control that. And finally, the only time I really resort to prayer is when I realize that I literally can't do anything. But why does it have to? Why do I always have to get to that place or that point? Again, I think we all understand this concept, but here we still struggle with it. Why is that? Well, the Lord let me know very quickly. Pride. I think that is the biggest issue, at least in my own heart. And you might think, well, I'm a pretty humble person. I've thought that, but that is the problem within itself. When you start thinking you're humble, the Lord very quickly will begin to put in your mind and heart things of where you lack. And so I would like to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5, and I'll read through verses 8. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Again, seclusion, not physically secluding yourself, but your heart has to get in a place of seclusion, stillness, a place of solitary. And it says, "And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for much of their speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth that these things ye have need of before ye ask him." And in verse 8, I don't know about you all, but the end of that, it says, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Again, I don't know about you all, but Satan, I'm thinking about the opposition against us. What he does is he puts a thought into our mind of, well, the Lord already knows about it. What's the need of going in and taking it to him? Why bother him? He already knows about it. Well, I don't. There's no need to pray to him. He already knows that I need this or I need that. Why bother worry? Why even take time to pray? But what I would challenge us to recognize and understand is God wants our heart. Again, he doesn't want our time. He doesn't want, again, interval of time. He doesn't care about the time itself. What he cares about is our heart and true, honest, and sincere prayer. So prayer is about emptying out, being real, not just with the Lord, but with ourselves. I don't know about you all, but I also think about sometimes where I find myself struggling to pray. I just have to, again, this is what the Lord helps to move my heart. I turn on music, and I just need to be in a place of isolation. I can't be, I struggle to pray with people around me for some reason, but whenever I am by myself, it's secluded physically, it seems like I can just, my heart, he begins to move in my heart, and all of a sudden it just overflows. And I would hope that I can do that, not despite, again, not being dependent upon my circumstances or by my environment. But again, prayer is about emptying out, being real. If you're tired, tell him you're tired. If you're struggling, tell him you're struggling. If you're on, if you're feeling like you're on a mountain, tell him you're on a mountain. And because, again, what will happen, at least for me, is I'll be on a mountain, so to speak, and I find myself struggling again. Why? It's because all of a sudden I feel like I've put myself on that mountain. I'm taking credit for it. I begin prideful. I begin to take credit for it. And instead of staying fervent in prayer and asking the Lord to continuously building me and developing me and giving me his strength. So again, what are we doing about it? What is it that we are doing to better ourselves and be more sincere in our prayer life? I already mentioned the necessity in listening. That's what the Lord has brought to my attention in my own heart, is the need to, I guess, do a bunch of this and just listen to what he has to say. He says in John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear and listen to my voice and follow me." And so it's important that we listen. There is a need. I get so frustrated. It's my first year teaching at the school in Franklin. I teach at the middle school, and I get so frustrated. I complain all the time. I go home and complain. These kids just don't listen. I get irritated. I get so frustrated, and I'm like, man, I'm sure. In fact, I have a co-worker that works right down the hall from me. She goes to Fairview as well, Sister Sarah Tucker. We'll meet at the end of the day and talk out in the hall, and we're frustrated with all the kids and just talking about how they don't listen. And one day, actually, she posed a question to me. She said, sometimes I wonder how the Lord feels. And I, honestly, it kind of struck me for a second. I was like, man, you know, that's true. I get so frustrated with these kids because I repeat myself time after time after time. And here they are doing, they'll listen for just a second, and then we go back to the next day, and they forgot what I said. But here I am, I do the same thing with the Lord. The Lord tells me, hey, you do this, you're going to be in a mess. And here I am going right back to that. I depend upon myself. And so in prayer, there should be a time of listening. In fact, I find it probably more important to start out listening. Again, it's easy to get in the habit of just, Lord, 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 do this for me, do that, do that. Because our flesh is all about ourself. So where do we start? One of my favorite verses of Scripture, I read this all the time, is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In that sixth verse, I don't find it a coincidence, but it says, before it even says about requests, it says thanksgiving. We have that holiday, I guess, coming up next week. But I think Thanksgiving should be something we not just practice on a Thursday in November, but we practice daily. Our hearts should practice thanksgiving. I find it the times where I feel most at peace, the most at rest and at joy is in my heart is the moments and times where I'm just grateful for the very basic things of life, whether that be the clothes that I have on, the breath in my lungs. Those are the times where I find myself to be, again, where it talks about in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you all, but gratitude and thankfulness, it moves your heart. It makes a shift to your heart, and I believe that's why it's so important that we are have a heart that comes with thanksgiving. Again, when we depend on the Lord through prayer, we find that not only, and it says that in verse 7 about being the peace that will keep us our minds or strengthen our minds and our hearts, but it also will give us a strength. I think I mentioned this last Sunday night. You know, a lot of times we go to the Lord and say, Lord, there's this burden, there's this cross that is in my life. It's hard. I'm struggling with it. Can you give me the strength to pick it up? And I never really thought about this. I heard this from another individual, but he said instead of asking the Lord to give you strength, because I don't know about you all, the Lord doesn't want us to ask Him to strengthen us, but instead ask the Lord to, if you ask the Lord to do it, to help you do it with you, that's what He desires. He desires to carry our burdens with us. We can read that in Matthew 11. It says, "Come unto me, all that are heavy laden and burdened." And that He will give us rest, and that's exactly what we should do. Come into Him. He tells us, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And why do we so often battle with the burdens that we battle with? It's because, again, it goes back to pride. We have a desire for control, a desire to be in control of our life and the things that we reap in our life. And we find that when we are in that manner, when our heart's in that manner, we struggle to find true direction from the Lord. I don't know about you all, but my life, and maybe it's where I'm young, and I know there's many individuals in here with much greater experience, much more wisdom than obviously me.
But I find in my life, there a lot of my life, at least spiritually speaking, has been like this. One minute I feel like I'm on fire for the Lord. Next minute I feel like I'm the world's worst Christian, honestly. And I don't know about you all, but I get tired of that feeling. I get frustrated with always being just, I feel so immature. I'll just be honest. I feel like it reflects me being super immature as a Christian, and I am exhausted of it. But what am I doing to fix it? Well, once we start, I challenge us to not stop. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean that, again, it doesn't mean that we have to be on our knees 24-7. But we should have, if not a prayer on our heart, a prayer at least in our we should have, again, in fact, verse 8, and I'll read it. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I don't know about you all, but there is power in the mind. Okay, and oftentimes I find when my mind is motivated and moved by things that are going on around me, my heart is then off kilter. It's out of whack. And what I was going to get to is if we don't have a prayer necessarily on our heart, try to think about some things and kind of fit hand in hand with verse 8. Think about the things that are good, and all of a sudden you begin to see that the Lord will move your heart when we think good things, when we think of just things and all the different attributes and characteristics that he said to think about, all of a sudden he begins to shift our heart in the necessary place, a heart of contentment, a heart of rest, a heart of peace and joy and hope, which is what we all desire to have. My aunt said something to me. We were actually talking about this at one point. This was not recently, but actually a pretty good while back. We were talking about the struggle of praying and how it's hard to pray and find time to truly pray. And she said that what helped her, and I never tried it, but she said that she literally would journal, just start journaling. All the things that were heavy on her, the burdens, she said she would just journal it, write it down. And all of a sudden, as she began to write, she said her pen would drop, her head would bow, and she began to pray. And she said it would just help her heart to begin to move. Because sometimes I think all we have to do is say, Lord, just take the step. And this is what I struggle with. Lord, help. Again, it goes back to pride. We struggle with just starting. If we can start, He does the rest for us. But we have to have a desire, a verb. Prayer is a verb. There has to be an action. And that's what I think I struggle with so much is that I don't act upon it. I know the right things to do. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 7. I know all the right things to do, but here I am. My flesh struggles with it so often. And honestly, I get so frustrated with it. And I want to be better. I don't know about you all, but I want to be better. I want to be more faithful in prayer. And so my prayer tonight, no pun intended, is that we people would become people that are faithful in prayer, not because we have to, but because we have the privilege to. The Lord's given us another, like the brother said, another beautiful day, another opportunity. Why not rejoice and be glad in it? Why not praise Him? Why not thank Him for it? What else do I can't remember who said this, but somebody mentioned, what else is there better to do? At the grand scheme of things, what else better do we have to do than to just praise and worship the Lord? There's nothing. When we really boil down things and get it to the nitty-gritty, there's nothing else more important. There's a song we sing at Fairview, He is really all that matters. And when you start doing some math and you start equating, well, this can cancel out, He's better than that, and you start, all of a sudden you're left with Jesus. That's it. That's all that's important. You know, Satan puts all these distractions, all these burdens in our life and in our heart that we think is just so valuable and so honorable and desires all of our attention. But when we just pause, again, find place to pause and allow the Lord to move in our hearts, we find that that is not the case. And that really all that matters is Him and Him alone. And so that's really all that I have on my heart this evening. I pray that I wasn't too sloppy in my delivery, but my heart is just heavy. I have a desire, and I ask you all to pray on my behalf that I can be more sincere in prayer. That it wouldn't just be a Sunday morning routine. It wouldn't be just a Wednesday night routine or a Sunday night, whatever. But it would be a daily and a life motivating and a desire to do all the time, to be faithful to the Lord in prayer. And so, again, I hope we all understand the privilege that we have to go to the Lord in prayer, and that we would take it seriously and not take it for granted. And so I thank you all for your attention. I thank you for this opportunity. And again, it's always a joy to be with you all and see you all. And I just ask you all to continue to pray for me, but most of all, continue to pray for the lost. We have several at home at Fairview. And I guess it's a theme where they just seem okay with the condition of their soul. They've become complacent, like many of, I guess, God's people. We just seem complacent. We seem just dry, dead. And that's concerning for me. And it honestly is concerning. It makes me do more of a reflection of myself. What am I doing about it? What are we doing about it? You know, we recognize that's the issue. We can recognize, we see the effects. What are we doing about it? One day, if we really want to see change, one day, again, there has to be a verb that takes place. Action. We've got to do something about it. We all know what to do. But again, who's going to be faithful and willing to do that? And so, again, thank you all. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Strode for the song.